Boy, I can't believe it's been 2 years since we surrendered to go back to Mexico as missionaries. I hope you enjoyed the little video we had. I hope that the visualization of where we go, what we do, how many creatures, the streets we walk on, helps you to understand so you can pray for us better. It's truly been a blessing being in Mexico. It's been a lot of challenges, a lot of excitement, and a lot of fun. I'd like to share some thoughts with you tonight, but first of all, I would like to answer some questions. People ask us basically 4 questions all the time. How's your health? Because we're older, we get that one a lot. Well, in the morning, we get up, we're stiff, our bones crack, we move a bit slower, but we're good. Laura and I went to Walmart the other day, and you know how they have the crosswalk, and you have to stop and let people walk to the door to go in. So we'll pull up, and I stop the car to let this old lady pass by. And this old lady, she's so cute. She's sitting there, and she's trying to cross on the crosswalk, and she decided to move in a hurry. And so her little arms are going, but her legs are going like this. And I told Laura, I said, I just love old people. You know, they're so cute. She goes, Mom, you are an old people. Well, that's true, and that's about how we work in Mexico. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says to run the race. Didn't say you have to be fast. It says you have to run the race and complete the course. So we don't work quite as fast as all the other missionaries because they're a little bit younger than we are, but we do run the race.
Amen.
The second question we get is, how long are you going to stay in Mexico? Obviously reflecting back on our age again. All I can say is we're going to stay as long as we can until God tells us we've completed what He's called us to do or our health no longer permits us to be there. The third question is, what are you doing in Zacatecas? Well, Eddie told you a little bit about that last night. You saw some pictures on the slides. Eddie goes out 5 days a week. And he goes to the villages. He's like an old-time circuit preacher, where he goes to the different villages, and he'll spend a week in this village, and then a week in this one, and a week in this one. And when he's completed that, he goes back around and does it again, and then he does it again. He does this 5 days a week, knocking on doors, talking to people, trying to get people to listen to him, to maybe have a Bible study, to lead them to the Lord. And then he finds a central location and he street preaches. Then one day a week, he sets it aside for making packets. You saw the slide where he had all the tables with all those tracts on it. He has about 15 tracts he uses, and in plastic bags, he puts about 4 of those tracts in each bag, and then we seal them up. So when we go, if the people aren't home, we can leave the packet there, and no matter what the weather, they're protected so the tracts aren't ruined and people still can read them. And then we take one day a week for rest. That's really needed. Although our rest is not just sitting around and kicking our feet up, that's the day we have to go buy groceries, we have to pay our rent, we have to pay our water, we have to pay our gas, and you have to go to these places to pay them. So that's what we do. That's what he does. 5 days a week preaching and the other 2 days. But for me, I have gotten involved with the ladies at the church we go to, where Marco is the pastor. And I meet with the ladies on Wednesday mornings, and we pray, and we sing, and we have Bible studies. I have gotten to where I've been helping lead out in these meetings. And I go out with Eddie knocking on doors and stuff too. And I realized that a lot of these ladies know a lot about the Bible. And I've been out door knocking with 3 different women on 3 different occasions. And I thought, no problem. Last year I couldn't do this. Last year my Spanish was like nothing. This year I felt like, well, I'll give it a try. You know, my Spanish still isn't real good. But I went out with these three ladies, and I thought, I can get you in the door, and then you can talk. Because I knock on the door, and people look at me and they go, who's that white lady with white hair, and why is she knocking on my door? So I can knock on the doors, and they'll open it for me. And so I did that, and I introduced myself, and then I waited, and they don't say anything. And I'm like, oh no. And the first time, the lady was just, you know, kind of like, well, okay, well, you know, if you get a chance, come by our church. And I'm like, okay. So the next time I thought, all right, I'm going to be more prepared this time. So I told the person I went with the next time, all right, I will get you in the door, but then you have to do the talking. She goes, okay, okay. So we get there, and I knock on the door, and again, she just stood there, nothing. I'm like, oh, dear. So I had to start talking. God filled my mouth. He spoke through me. I was able to witness to this lady. I was able to talk to them. I walked away and went, wow, where'd that come from? It was a blessing. So I realized that, you know, I went back to the ladies' meeting, and I said, do y'all know how to lead someone to the Lord? And they said, oh, yeah. I said, do you know what verses to use? Well, not really. I said, okay, would y'all like to have a class on soul winning? And they said, yeah. So I started holding a soul winning class. So I did a soul winning class with them, and then after I taught them, then we had 1 week where we practiced back and forth with each other. And then I had them out on the street corner in front of a very busy corner where a lot of foot traffic goes by, and we were witnessing. We were passing out tracts, and it also happened to be like on the corner where the seminary is, and so we got a lot of nuns and priests in practice, or whatever you call them when they're just learning. And so we had a real good learning time while we were there. So I've been working with the ladies doing various things, and one of the greatest honors I've had down there was one of the young ladies in our church who goes to the women's meeting was pregnant, and she had her baby, and she named it after me. She named her Donna Cecilia. So that was a blessing. The fourth question is, how can we pray for you? First of all, you can pray for my brain. For my ability to learn and retain the Spanish. As we get older, it's harder to remember anything. And then to learn another language on top of that, you know, just pray for me. Pray for our physical ability, that we would have the strength to walk up and down the mountains or anywhere that God leads us, that we can share His Word. And you saw the steps, and you saw the roads, and they're not easy to walk on. Pray for our hearts, that we would continue to love the people and have continued peace within us in the areas that frighten us. Like Karen said the other day in Philippians 1:28, that we'd be not terrified by our adversaries. And so far, God has given us a tremendous peace in all the villages we go to. So pray He continues to do that. Pray for our stomachs, that we would be able to gracefully eat whatever is put before us and enjoy it. Eddie several times has had people, when we've both been there, they come and they bring us refreshments when he's out there preaching. Whether it be something to eat, an ice cream or popsicle type thing or anything. You know, they even, one time Eddie was out preaching in the street, and I wasn't with him this time, and he got back from walking the streets, and there was a guy leaning up against his Bronco. He invited him to dinner. So he went, and, you know, we never know what's going to be served or how it's prepared. And Zacatecas is known for rats rat soup, rat tacos, something I'm not necessarily wanting to eat. And so I quit asking what's in it. So just pray for our stomachs. Pray for Eddie and all the missionaries to have courage as they stand up publicly in the street without their knees wobbling, to be able to preach the Word of God boldly without fear. For wisdom, to always have the right counsel for people when they come to us. We've been dealing with some very different people with some very different problems, be single or couples. And basically, no matter what it is, it all boils down to one thing. What's your priority? This goes for missionaries, too. In Joshua 24:15, it says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." We all need to make a decision. What's our priority? Who are we going to serve? Are we going to continue to serve ourselves and our needs and our wants? Or are we going to serve God and submit to Him and what He wants for us and from us? Am I willing to follow Him and serve Him? Am I willing to talk to strangers in our neighborhood, at work, our extended family, our friends? I have a poem I'd like to read. "You lived next door to me for years. We shared our dreams, our joys, our tears. A friend to me you were indeed, a friend who helped me when in need. My faith in you was strong and sure. We had such trust as should endure. No spats between us ever rose. Our friends were like, and so our foes. What sadness then, my friend, to find that after all you weren't so kind. The day my life on earth did end, I found you weren't a faithful friend. For all those years we spent on earth, you never talked of second birth. You never spoke of my lost soul and of the Savior who'd made me whole. I plead today from hell's cruel fire and tell you now my last desire. You cannot do a thing for me. No words today my bonds will free. But do not err, my friend, again. Do all you can for souls of men. Plead with them now quite earnestly, lest they be cast in hell with me." We need to make witnessing our priority. We need to make sure we go. In 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 24, it says, "And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria." And then we'll skip down to chapter 7, verse 3. "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say, we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians, and if they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come into the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. They said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went in to one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went in and hid it. Then they said one to another, 'We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household.'" So here we have this huge famine going on. And you got these lepers who are cast out anyway. And so they're sitting out there and they have to make a decision. For sure they're going to die if they stay out here. But maybe if they go in, they might live. So they looked at each other and they said, why sit we here until we die? So they went in. And they went in and they found there was nobody there. They went in and they went from tent to tent or house to house. And they found gold and silver and food and drink. And they had it all. They had everything, all the blessings, all the riches, all the treasure. And they took it and they hid it. And then they sat there in verse 9 and they said, now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. That's like us as missionaries. Those guys had all the blessings. They had it everything. We have it as Christians. We have those blessings. We have the Word of God. We have the treasures that God has given us. Why are we hiding it? We need to go. We need to get up. We need to go tell. How can we not share? God doesn't want any of us to just sit here till we die. He wants action. We have to get up. We have to go tell others. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, it says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. We must tell. And we all need to work together to get this message out. As missionaries, Eddie and I work alone without a partner in Zacatecas. But with your prayers, we have the courage, the strength, and the passion to carry on. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Yes, Eddie and I are a team. We work together to spread the gospel. We have different tasks, but it takes both of us to accomplish what God has called us to do. Eddie Street preaches. I have the ladies' meetings and Bible classes. We both knock on doors and pass out tracts. And yes, he does more than me, but we both do what God has called us to do. Have you considered how you can serve God? Have you considered what your opportunity is? What mission does God have for you? We have 5 more days of this mission conference. I challenge each of you, every man, woman, young or old, every boy and girl, to pray this week for these next 5 days. What opportunity does God have for you? What mission does God have for you? Maybe you've been fighting within yourself about something specific. Why sit you here till we die? Have you considered saying, here am I, Lord, send me? This conference is focusing on missions. And yes, the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. And we know not everyone can go. But there's more to do than just going to a foreign country. You can be a part of our team. Every missionary needs a team behind them. Consider, what does God want you to do on our team? Maybe you're thinking, I can't be on your team, I'm just a child. Or I'm a woman, I have to wait on my husband. I have a family to support. Or I'm too old. Well, there are many ways to be a team player. There is no age limit on being a prayer warrior. You know, Miss Marion, she's not here tonight, she was here last night. She's 95 years old. She's at home watching us right now, and she prays for us. She's a faithful prayer warrior. You could do that. Every one of you could do that. Maybe you could email or text your missionary. Just let us know that you remember us and that you have our back. You don't know how encouraging that is. And sometimes that's what gets us through. You can come and you can visit your missionaries. See what we do. Brother Adrian's sitting over there. He comes down and he visits us periodically, quite often. And he goes out preaching with Eddie. He'll stay 2 or 3 days. And he'll go out in the villages and he'll preach with Eddie. Oh man, what an encouragement that is. What a blessing. And he even brought his wife Irene and his mother Ponchita. And they've been outdoor knocking with me. And she's in her 90s. It's okay if you're old. Look at us. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Your contact with us really does lift us up. And on those days that we're a little discouraged, it really does keep us going. You definitely make a difference in the work in Zacatecas. Again, in 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says, for we are laborers together. You're a huge, huge part of our team. And all the missionaries. Every tract that's handed out, every person that's talked to, every door that's knocked on, every person that has accepted Jesus as their Savior, you're a part of that. We need you. You're our better half. If you're here praying for us and supporting us, we thank you. So again, I challenge you. Plead with the lost. Pray for your missionaries. Be a part of our team. Pray for God to make it clear to you what your mission is and what He wants you to do. And lastly, Eddie and I both want to thank you for all your love, your prayers, your support that you've given us. Thank you.